Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I have so much to cover today. We just got to get going. But before we do, I got to let you know how you can reach me. If you have a comment you'd like to share, please share it. Info@redskyradio.net. Info@redskyradio.net. Now, I always start the program with good news. I try to end with good news. And I have nothing that's good news in the media today. Or this week, I got nothing. So I'm going to start with the ultimate good news, and I'm going to end with the ultimate good news, which is what? The Word of God. And I want to read from a passage, first of all, in the book of Romans here, because I want to pick up where I left off last week on the issue of what lives don't matter. Now, this sparked something, and of course, I made it very clear last week that souls matter, but certain lives don't. Souls do, but the lives don't. But I want to start with a reading from Romans here, and we are going to launch right into it, except that I want to just throw out something a little light at the beginning, because there's nothing but heavy after this. And I guess you could call this good news, because the Department of Health and Human Services has finally found the ideal people to be able to teach social distancing. Some people need to be taught social distancing. The Department of Health and Human Services are now looking for married couples that have been married a minimum of 7 years who will then be able to teach others how to socially distance. Well, okay, that's as light as it gets, folks. Here we go. Romans 9, we're going to read verses 15 through 23. Hang on. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runs, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show thee my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, well, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And he that might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory. This is a tough passage. Now look, I'm not a Calvinist to say no matter how much you want to get saved, you can't if you've been appointed to hell. And no matter how badly you want to serve the devil, if you've been appointed to heaven, you can't go to hell. That's Calvinism in its extreme. That's not it. But you see here, there are those God has appointed unto wrath. And if you take a look at the book of Jude, I wasn't even really planning to go there. But if there's one book in the entire scripture that speaks more today to what is going on today, it's the book of Jude. Jude could just be the front page of the newspaper. But the Lord says there that there were certain men, this is in Jude 4, who crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand this fact, but God knows that there are some who are simply wicked and are they're going to go to hell. That is, it's not because he wants that, because he says he desires that all would come to the knowledge of the Lord, that whomsoever would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. But he knows the end from the beginning. So the reason I am mentioning that at this point is that because last week I made a comment, and I am not backing down from that comment at all, that, and I made sure that I said it all in one sentence, that not all Black lives matter, and not all white lives matter, and not all brown lives matter, and you can throw in any color that you want. Because I reference from Scripture the fact that God has no desire to see the wicked dead. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And yet, in Proverbs 15:3, it says that when the wicked die, that the righteous rejoice. The righteous have jubilation. There's shouts of joy. Not because the deceased party is in hell. That would put us contrary to God. Because God's not wanting them in hell. He's not sitting there slobbering, waiting, rubbing his hands together, waiting to just smoke somebody and send them into an eternal inferno. That's not who he is. But he is a God of justice. And I'm not talking social justice, environmental justice, all that happy crap that we get from the left. Justice is justice, meaning those who do wrong get it. Those who do right get rewarded. That's justice. That's God's justice. But there are those who there would be no loss to the world if they were gone. Now, we don't have a desire to see them in hell, but we do have a desire to be lifted from the oppression that certain people have inflicted upon this world. And I mentioned Adolf Hitler, of course. And I also mentioned all the pushback, the people that are getting fired and shamed. It's ridiculous. The principal in Vermont that got fired, the Sacramento announcer that got fired because they said all lives matter. And they're getting fired for saying all lives matter. They can only say Black Lives Matter, which really means then only Black Lives Matter, which, as I said, is ridiculously and outrageously racist. Now, the reason I want to cover this is because the enemy of our souls, Satan, the deluder, the deceiver, and I'd like to call him a whole bunch of other names, but Scripture prohibits me from saying anything more about him than what Scripture says. I am not going to, and if you're hearing this today, I don't care whether you're white or black or some other color, it doesn't really matter. Mixed race makes no difference. If you purpose in your heart, like I have purposed in my heart, that I am not going to let the black left, and I am not going to let the white left divide me and separate me from my brothers and sisters in the Lord, regardless of their color. I called Obama the divider in chief, and he was. What a slug. He was, I've said this before, he sort of was sort of the worst of both races. He kind of combined black liberation theology, which is not theology at all, it's from the pit of hell, with this haughty, arrogant, white, elitist, leftist mentality, which was just the worst combination. But I'm not going to let the left, regardless of their color, who is working overtime, Satan is working overtime through his minions to divide the body of Christ. And and maybe just the rest of society along the lines of color. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And I'm going to get into some other things here in just a minute. But just listen for a second here. When I say that not all these lives matter, if they are people who are bent on sin, all right, you've seen a thousand times, right? The young black kid walking down the street, and without even looking at her, he just shoves this 92-year-old woman over, hits her head on a fire department, and they block out her face. I don't know if she's white, black, or whatever, Hispanic, who knows? And he just keeps walking. I don't care if that kid's white, brown, or black. If I were there, I would have toasted him. I'm sorry. This is where I am. There is a time for justice. It has nothing to do with race. If that were a white guy doing that, I'd want him out just as soon. Now, this is a guy who's been arrested almost, 100 times, most of the times for sexual perversion. Look, there are some people who are wicked, and I got to back up here a second. You remember E-R from the Old Testament? It says he was wicked, and God slew him. And it goes on to say Onan, who was Ur's brother, he was wicked too, and God slew him because he was wicked. Guess what? God slew Herod because he took on to himself the glory of God. God wiped him out in a heartbeat. God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. God wiped out hundreds of thousands of Midianites. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, hang on. Here we go. God wiped out Ananias. He iced Sapphira. Wicked, bad people that he's gotten rid of. Now, I'm not saying that because when the wicked die, that we can be jubilant, that gives us the right to go take them out ourselves. God's going to deal with them accordingly. But you take people, I mean, let me just grab onto one here. Gretchen Whitmer, the awful, terrible AOC of Michigan, that governor. Look, this woman, if she passed away, I would be jubilant. Not because she's in hell, just understand this, but because she's so wicked and her oppressive nature, the people of Michigan would be shouting for joy if Gretchen Whitmer just, God took a hook and removed her stage right. You think that's bad? Well, I'll tell you what. If I were called to sing at Gretchen Whitmer's, you're going to think, Rob, you're going over the edge here. No, if I were called to sing at Gretchen Whitmer's funeral, like Barack Obama sang at some, I don't know whose funeral he sang at, I know what I'd sing at Gretchen Whitmer's funeral. I'd sing Ding Dong, The Witch is Dead. Now think about it a second. Go back to The Wizard of Oz. The house crushes the Wicked Witch of the East. And what do the Munchkins do? They're all jubilant because of the death of a wicked person. They weren't joyous because the witch went to hell. They were joyous because the oppression was lifted. The Munchkins were ecstatic, notwithstanding Judy Garland's late memoir indicating that she was sexually harassed by those Munchkins. I don't know, they were looking up her skirt, but if you're that short, you only got one direction to look up. And that's up. But that's beside the point here. Yeah, I know, I did sing at a funeral. I'll just throw this in. I did sing at a funeral once, a friend of mine who died, and I sang at that funeral. And I was thinking maybe he might just, who knows, be raised from the dead. Not because of my song, but because of God's sovereignty. Truth be known, if he was raised from the dead, it would only be to run over and turn off my microphone, and then he would have run back and jumped back into the grave. But my point is this. Did we not all cheer right along with the Munchkins when the Wicked Witch is dead? Have we not throughout our lives cheered when the bad guys get it? Either they're in prison or they're dead or they're splayed out somewhere. We rejoice when oppression is lifted. And therefore, I have no regrets about stating what I stated, that there are some black lives that don't matter and some white lives that don't matter and some brown lives that don't matter. There's wicked among all of them, and I have no regret about saying that I don't want them in hell, but I want the oppression lifted. I mean, God did it. I just read all the times and just a few times that God has taken out people who were bad and wicked because why? Well, they were bad and wicked. Doesn't get so. I may end with this, but I'm going to say it again. Do not let the white left or the black left or anybody on the left use race to divide and separate you from your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I got to tell you, I am absolutely almost ridiculously thrilled about some of the blacks that are popping up on YouTube and stating cases so articulately for rejecting Black Lives Matter. In fact, you know what? I've got to tell you one. I recommended a video on YouTube a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to recommend another one. And I thank my Las Vegas bureau chief, Billy, for sending this one to me. Her name is Bevelin. Looks like Evelyn, but with a B, as in boy. Bevelin Beatty. Beatty or Beatty, however you pronounce it. B, as in boy, E-A-T-T-Y. B-E-A-T-T-Y. And she does a video entitled Black Lies Matter. Not Black Lives, Black Lies Matter. This young black woman is on fire for God. She is on fire for righteousness. She is on fire for real justice. Now, it's maybe 15 minutes long. There's a couple of things she said. You know, I don't necessarily agree with her opinions, but I got to tell you, she's a powder keg. And that powder is getting spent in the right direction. So make sure you listen to it. And if you know somebody that you think would appreciate it, send it on to as many as possible. Because what I'm finding here with, and we had another 300,000 listeners last week, I'm finding that this program, when I reference a very, very select YouTube videos, I have seen, certainly not all due to this program, some of them just go viral, of course, on their own merit. But to the extent that Red Sky Radio can be the booster rocket, if you will, for some of these not so frequently viewed YouTube videos, but which are absolutely superb, if I can add 25 to 50,000 views, it will go viral for me. It's like I said, it's a booster rocket. If Red Sky Radio is just enough to put this video into orbit, then this program is worth every dime I spend on it, and it's worth every dime that our faithful contributors send to us to help pay for it. And I do thank those who that doesn't cover it, but you do it, and you do it faithfully, and I'm very thankful for those who do. Now, getting on to some ridiculously white embarrassment, and I mean ridiculously white embarrassment. I have shredded Chick-fil-A in the past when they just sold out on the whole LGBT, QRSTU, VWXYZ agenda. I mean, what a meltdown. What a disappointment. I have boycotted. I have not eaten at Chick-fil-A since. I have no intention of eating at Chick-fil-A. But wait till you hear what their CEO, Dan Cathy, said right after this break. We'll be right back to Red Sky Radio. Hi, I'm Robin Walter, and as a California lawyer and buying agent, I've been helping my clients escape the clutches of the California taxing authorities when they sell their investment property, rentals, farmland, commercial real estate, or any other real estate for which California will sock you. Now, we've been doing this for years, but as more states are trying to replicate this nightmare called California, we're expanding our services to include not only those trying to escape other blue states, such as Washington or Oregon, but also all of you who reside and have property in good states, but would like to turn non-income-producing real estate into a high-quality income real estate investment and do so without having to pay taxes. Our clients want to get out of bad states and into good states and cities with stable government, responsible government, often with lower taxes, and yes, places with police departments. So we limit where we do business. There are only 18 states that we will assist you in buying property. Our clients will typically see a meaningful increase in income, and the properties we recommend will generally require little, if any, personal oversight. Why? Because we've established criteria that are very strict and proven in the property selection process. The cost to you of my services? Zero. Because this is a significant financial transaction you're contemplating, you will not receive a response from a sales agent. No, you will hear and only hear directly from me. Contact me today at info@redskyradio.net. That's info@redskyradio.net. Thank you. We're back. This is Rob Walter. My Babylon Bee article, I'm going to start contributing to the Babylon Bee. I've got a couple in the pipeline here I'm going to submit. I'm fairly confident that, some, maybe all of them will be printed. But I love this one. It said, came out yesterday, it says, Democrats clarify that black lives will only matter until November. And that's, you know, it is so easy to spot the hypocritical nature of the Democrats. It's just, it's almost pathetic. But I have, if there's something that has been riling me to no end this week, it's this paternalistic, haughty, condescending attitude of whites who somehow think that they have the right to do two things: to somehow tell blacks how they should be feeling if people like Bevelyn Beatty and Candace Owens aren't feeling it. These whites are out to tell those blacks how they ought to be feeling. And they're also telling whites, telling me how I should be feeling. I mean, oh, who was it? That I can't even think of that guy. Tyler Perry. Who is Tyler Perry? Isn't Tyler Perry, was he from Aerosmith or some group like that? Isn't he the guy who looks like he's about, he's about probably in his 70s, but he looks like he's about 143. I think he's the guy who comes out and says, yeah, he is the one. He says, racism and brutality that George Floyd faced is something black people know all too well. How do you, Tyler Perry, a skinny little white guy, have any idea what blacks face? And why do you just lump all blacks into one category? Because I know a whole bunch that have not faced any meaningful discrimination. Now, I have, but I don't hold it against blacks. Why did I not get into the University of Michigan Law School? Because I was a white male. I can take my grades, my LSAT scores, and I was rejected in favor of several black females. I know that. Because a friend of mine worked in the admissions department for the law school. They were going to pick blacks over whites. So I know that discrimination. I know I can't, as a white guy, get certain government loans that are only for homosexuals and women and non-whites generally. I know that there are jobs and that there are job quotas and affirmative action that I can't get. So when people talk about systemic racism, racism that's in the system of government, the system of education, the system of business, the systemic racism has actually been anti-white. Now, I can say that because I've been the recipient of it. Am I angry about it? No. I worked my way around. I went to a law school that, guess what? It was a Christian law school, not some University of Michigan law school where I just learned how to be gay. That was what one of the classes they teach. I say that because it says we have a class on how to be gay at the University of Michigan. Obviously, it's not inbred, and you're not born that way if they can teach you how to be that way. But that's beside the point. Everybody has faced some sort of discrimination. It could be because you are a male, regardless of color, that you've been looked over in favor of a female, because that's the discrimination du jour. Right? We all have. But if you're going to sit and gripe and just victimize yourself about it and let it be the excuse for you not being all that God has called you to do, then you have wasted your life. You've wasted it. In fact, you're not of a help to society. You're in the way. You're not part of the way. You're in the way. And God needs to either get you changed or move you out. There's nobody that should be using that as the excuse for their various failures. Now, I understand, as I was very, almost acerbic about the issue that I have been for decades, really ticked off at Democrats because of their unique role in destroying the black family. What, in the 60s, early 60s, over 70% of all black children were in two-parent families. And now it's down to what, 21%? The Great Society? No, it was the Great Destruction. It was the Great Demolishing, if you will, of the black family through a welfare program that encouraged the fathers to get up and get gone. And other programs. You know, the Democrats only have, they want to know who's, first of all, they're the racists. The Democrats formed the KKK, right? They did. The Democrats passed the Jim Crow laws. The Democrats were the ones that didn't want the 14th Amendment to apply to the states because that would mean that blacks then would have the right to arm themselves according to the Second Amendment. You go right on down the line. They are the slaveholders, the slave traders, if you will, the plantation owners. And then that party has the audacity today to turn and just blast whites everywhere for everything. Well, listen to Dan Cathy, the CEO of a loser operation called Chick-fil-A, which I have no interest in patronizing, and I would encourage you to boycott it too. He goes on to say, he says in this interview the other day, we as Caucasians, until we're willing to just pick up the baton and fight for our black African-American brothers and sisters, which they are as one human race, we're shameful. And he goes on to say, any expressions of a contrite heart, of a sense of humility, a sense of shame, a sense of embarrassment, an apologetic heart, that's what our world needs today. A sense of real identity, not just criticizing people that are burning down the restaurant last night, but we've got a heart for the Rayshard Brooks and the others that you, the interviewer here, has mentioned, but we've got to have a sense of empathy of what led to this. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And then wraps it up with a statement that white Christians should have a sense of shame and an apologetic heart. Dan Cathy, you can go suck a raw egg. I have nothing to be ashamed about. In my past, don't you, white weenie, tell me how I should feel and quit telling blacks how they ought to feel. The Tyler Perrys, the Dan Cathys, you know what this reveals to me? That deep down in, Cathy's a racist. He's got to be, because the way he's dealing with this is trying to shame every white person in the world for alleged racism, and somehow this is his penance for his own racism. He can't speak for me. He can't speak for millions of whites who have never harbored anything against the black race. My goodness sakes, I used to date a black girl, but that's totally beside the point. I don't need to prove myself. But I am one ticked off white guy when another white guy is telling me how I should feel. And if I were black and there's some white guy telling me how I should feel, I would be just as ticked. How do you know my heart? Who are you, Dan Cathy? Goodness sakes. So what he's saying here, he says, any sense of real identity, we should not just be criticizing people that are burning down the restaurant, meaning the Wendy's in Atlanta. He's saying we should also be criticizing the white people. For what? For being oblivious to blacks, to being not having a sense of shame, not having an apologetic heart. So let me understand this. So that every white person out there, regardless of what they really are guilty of or not guilty of, we are at fault as an innocent white person, as much as the people who torched the Wendy's. That's what he's saying. That somehow some passive whatever discrimination that may in some families go back four and five generations, maybe never. I don't know of any in my family going back the three or four generations that I know about. I mean, it doesn't say there weren't, but look, Scripture makes it very clear that the children are not guilty of the sins of the parents, and the parents are not responsible for the sins of their children. So Dan, Kathy, shove it and get out of my face and take your little white left-wing claptrap, which is what it's turning into, and you just eat it along with one of your Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I'm not having it. Now push me, and I'll tell you how I really feel about it. And oh, I just by the way, I should mention, though Kathy doesn't know this, because he's too busy blathering and slobbering all over the microphone and some apologetic thing for which apparently maybe he... You know what, Dan? Here's the point. Why don't you apologize for you? Why don't you apologize for your dad or whoever the other racist, white racists were in the South that are in your family tree? Why don't you just take care of you, Dan, and quit trying to indict me and a whole bunch of others? And while you're at it, Tyler Perry, you quit knocking off telling blacks how they should feel. Goodness sakes. It's like Candace Owens says, Joe Biden has accused her of not being black because she's not voting for him. Therefore, she's not a real black. I got to tell you, this white patronizing happy crap really ticks me off. It's what sent me in the direction of being a conservative at the University of Michigan many moons ago. I wasn't a Christian when I went there. Not at all. I was just down there. I was just going to have a good time, try to find a nice girl, whatever. You know what? None of that happened. None of it. I struck out zero. All of my goals. I got a worthless degree. So I was like 0 for 9. But when I was down there, it was just all these left-wing white professors that were somewhere to the left of Fidel Castro. They were so royally and totally screwed up. I did not know what was the right way, but I sure as heck knew what the wrong way was. I sure as heck knew these guys were losers, big time losers, trying to shame me for something that I had no shame for. Well, go stick it, Jack. I am not taking that. But I'm thankful for the experience. Because when I found out what was wrong and that these guys were losers, I didn't know what was right. But guess what? If somebody is really off on a whole bunch of things, they're pro-abortion, they're pro-queer marriage, they're anti-Second Amendment. Well, you know what? You can tell that, you know, if somebody who would be your friend would be somebody what? Who's just the opposite of the person that expresses those unbiblical positions. So I had the sense, I don't know what's right, but right must be the opposite of what these losers are preaching. Man, goodness sakes. Okay, let's just move on to this whole white world here, which has got me so ticked off. If the church had stood up against slavery, we may not be here, says a Southern Baptist Convention pastor. You know, I understand that there are denominations that split over racial issues. I totally get that. And we talked today about, well, it's a white church and it's a black church. And I mean, well, it could be a white church with just a few blacks in it. It could be a black church with just a few whites in it. But we kind of say black and white. And because what? It's easier to just divide things into black and white because it makes it also what? Black and white. But that's a gloss. I have to tell you that I just simply enjoy being around brothers and sisters in the Lord. And people say, well, I don't see color. Well, yeah, I do. I'm not colorblind. I mean, I see a rainbow and I can rejoice at seeing those colors. If I see somebody that is, it's black or they're Chinese or Hispanic or something. I wasn't raised around anything but whites. I grew up in a little tiny farm town in Michigan. We weren't segregated. We just didn't have anybody else to segregate from. Just like Maybe blacks on the south side of Chicago, are they segregated? No. There just aren't any, there aren't any whites there to segregate from. It's not like one side of the street's black, another side of the street's white. But this whole, this is what I just can't get, is this sense of groveling, of guilt. Yeah, there, and everybody that's white who's groveling here and pleading for mercy or something from Black Lives Matter, as Bevelyn Beatty says, tells me they're the ones that have really harbored racist feelings. But don't cast it on me. And guess what, Jack, you Southern Baptist Convention pastor? You know what? If the church had stood up, we probably wouldn't have queer marriage. If the church had stood up, we probably wouldn't have abortion. If the church would stand up for the Second Amendment, we wouldn't be at the risk of losing our right to keep and bear arms. So if you're learning something from this, then apply it to the present. Because we are losing it fast and furious here in this country. I mean, Boston, removing a memorial to Abraham Lincoln. Seriously? The one who proclaimed the Emancipation Proclamation? They're taking down his statue? The statue that was created by former slaves, and it was unveiled by one of the greatest men, and I just simply for the sake of argument, I need to point out that he happened to be black, Frederick Douglass. Why? Because it's now too offensive to these little weenies on the far left. You know what? I feel like God just threw something back into my head here that I started to say before about that Wendy's and Dan Cathy. I got something for you, Dan. One more thing. You probably don't know about it. Without question, the majority of the looters seem to be black. Without question, the majority of the arsonists are white. And then they share the graffiti. I don't know why. One's gone to looting, one's gone to burning. And yes, there are whites that loot, there are blacks that burn. But the fact is, proportionally, that's what the statistics seem to indicate. So, Dan, the ones that were burning down the Wendy's were probably white. And interestingly, among the whites that are the arsonists, a disproportionate number of them are women. Now, I take that statistic from Tucker Carlson. So, Tucker, doggone it, man, you better be right, because I'm quoting you here. So, the people that are tearing down these statues, like the woman in tearing down the statue of Winston Churchill. She didn't even know who Winston Churchill is or was. Winston Churchill was a man made for his time, like Donald Trump is made for this time. Tough, rough, on the edges, brutal, but somebody you needed in the time of World War II and World War I. Kind of like what we're going through now. We need a tough guy in office. Didn't even know who he was. But tearing down Abraham Lincoln statue, Portland, Oregon, they pulled down the statue of Thomas Jefferson, the writer of the Declaration of Independence, because it's too offensive. In Sacramento, the California government, which is so totally and royally and completely screwed up, which I should just add, Governor Gruesome just announced he's letting thousands more out of prison. And guess what, Californians? Those guys are going to stay there. Why? Because they know that if they get rearrested, they'll just be let out again. They have an eternal, non-terminating, no expiration, get out of jail free card. As well as the whole new mask deal, which I don't even want to get into. But in Sacramento, it's the government that took down the statue of Christopher Columbus. And they took down officials destroyed the statue for the founder of the city of Sacramento, John Sutter. Sutter's Mill, the gold mine guy, right? He was an immigrant and he didn't own slaves. They just said he's too offensive. Well, what this is about is the left-wing monsters, sorry for the redundancy, simply want to destroy history across the board. They've done it systematically with screwed up, totally messed up textbooks, teaching history that isn't history as though it were history, because they're afraid that if the students today actually learned history, then they wouldn't repeat it, and they want their 438th attempt at trying socialism. So they can't allow the students to know that it's failed for 437 times. You got to cover up history. You got to destroy it all. So they're destroying Abraham Lincoln's statue, Jefferson's statue, Sutter's statue, Christopher Columbus's statue. Because they want to destroy history, because you can't remake a society without destroying at least the knowledge of your history. That way they get to reattempt the failed attempt of socialism, and the communazis in America are really active. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Down home. Where they know you by name and treat you like family. Down home, a man's good word and a handshake are all you need. Folks know if they're falling on hard times, they can fall back home. Those of us raised up.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio. Oh, gosh, what a life. I've been playing, I'm going to play this for a few weeks, Down Home. Or a man's good word and a handshake is all you need. Boy, compared to today, that sounds like heaven, doesn't it? And that's the world we came from. All right, before I forget, I want to mention again, Bevelin with a B, B as in boy, in front of Evelyn. Bevelin Beatty, B-E-A-T-T-Y, Black Lives Matter. You need to hear that YouTube video from this passionate, on fire, blockbusting young black woman. And send that story on down the line. Keep it going. But as long as we are going to be tearing down things, I read something the other day from Ann Coulter. I'm not a big fan of Ann Coulter on TV. Hearing her, I don't know. I struggle. I'm not sure why. But I love reading her. She's ridiculously smart. She's got an incredible command of the English language. I might add, I think she's a graduate of the University of Michigan Law School. Maybe... She would have edged me out no matter what. But anyway, she said, why doesn't Yale rename their school? Why all these yin-yangs in Yale are part of the, what are their, Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all of this stuff? You got those there, but Elihu or Elihu, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, E-L-I-H-U, Elihu Yale, was not only a slave owner, but he was a slave trader. He traded in slaves. He not only made money offering them as an owner of slaves, he made money merchandising people. So let's change your name, Yale. I think, and I'm just going to throw out a name. You can come up with your own. I think it should be changed from Yale to Connecticut Community College. Okay, Antifa. This is kind of an amazing little thing to me. Antifa, the ones who... have rallied around no borders, rallied around no walls, Ali Ali Oxen, everybody's in free. They're putting up borders and walls and did that in downtown Seattle. The no borders people are putting up borders. The people with no walls are putting up walls. The people who say you shouldn't have to provide credentials or identification to vote or to come into this country, get a visa, they're demanding credentials. See, we know the anti-fascists are really just fascists. There's nothing anti. They're anti-common sense. They're anti-righteousness. They're anti-God. They're Christ haters. They are the wicked. Ding dong, the witch is dead, huh? Hey, you want to know somebody to boycott? I haven't thrown out boycotts for a long time, but I did one earlier today, Chick-fil-A. I'm done with them. But there are a couple of companies that have pulled their support from Tucker Carlson's program. Because why? Well, the same thing, because he dares to tell the truth. They've pulled their ads. Now, I don't go to Disney, but Disney pulled their ad, but so did Papa John's Pizza and T-Mobile. T-Mobile and Papa John's Pizza have both pulled support advertising dollars from Tucker Carlson. Because why? Again, because he's got the audacity to tell the truth. Oh gosh, isn't that just an amazing thing? And then you've got the Facebook. Facebook, which is now banning a campaign ad of Donald Trump's. And why? Because in it, he denounces Antifa violence. You think, well, wait a second. Wait a second. Hasn't Facebook taken the position that anything that seems to encourage violence is what they won't participate in, even if they had to stretch the truth and they would not then facilitate passing on information dealing with anti-lockdown protests, even though all of these guys showed up in the Michigan Capitol with hundreds of guns, but nobody was threatened, nobody brandished, nobody got killed, nobody got injured, nothing happened. Nothing. Except the left put tracers on all those people and then had some electronic devices zoomed in on their cell phones and traced all the guys that showed up at the Michigan Capitol with guns. See, this is what you get with Democrats, the communazis, the wicked witches of the Midwest, like a Gretchen Whitmer and every other demon-possessed Democrat. That's redundant. I'm sorry. But wait a second. What's wrong with this picture? Facebook, which is anti-violence, they just pick and choose which violence they like. It's why I'm not on Facebook. I never will be Facebook with it. No Twitter. I'm going to have email and email only and maybe some independent texting service, possibly. Not my second phone with a texting service. Maybe. I'm not going to get into this because they're trying to shut all Christians down. It is very obvious they have nothing about the truth that concerns them. They have a one-world government. It's elitist, left-wing liberals at their finest. So the only violence that they're going to denounce is something that hasn't happened, but they think it might coming from the right because there hasn't been the violence from the right. Even in Charlottesville, that violence was actually triggered by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. It was, yeah, they're both sides. The reason that it became something to an aspersion was because it was the first time that the people who were attacked actually fought back. So the only violence they seem to be against is the violence that they think might possibly, somehow, arithmetically, possibly, occur on the side of the right. But they don't denounce anything that's emphatically, visually substantiated, confirmed hundreds of times on the left. And so, because Trump denounces Antifa violence, Facebook won't show it because it involves violence, even though the ad denounces it. Because that's the way of Facebook apparently contending that the left isn't really committing violence. I wish I had more time to spend on this. I don't really, but this was a horrible week in one other sense. The Supreme Court, John Roberts, what a loser. What a disappointment. Babylon Bee article said all the Democrats in Congress have decided to resign because the Supreme Court's doing their job for them. There's a lot of truth to that. But this decision this week stating that the Civil Rights Act now supports LGBTQRSDUVWXYZ and every sexually debauched behavior that's included in that appellation, if you will, is covered under the word sex. The obvious intent of that language is so clear. Neil Gorsuch, what a horrible disappointment. John Roberts is turning into a loser with a capital L. unbelievable. This is a terrible precedent. And it's one of the things that I expected coming down the pike at some point, which will just simply fuel and further inflame the Gestapo. The Gestapo, the ones who will not let anybody who does not support, underwrite, advocate, subsidize their debauched and abominable lifestyle, for which God made it very clear they don't go to heaven, along with a whole bunch of other lifestyles, they're going to just ram, cram, slam, and jam it down their throats. It will be an additional reason besides the removal of the Second Amendment for the secession of states from the United States, something I have said for over 20 years. 34% of the people now think we're headed for civil war. This boy here, Robin Walter, I have said that for over 20 years and probably at least once a month for the last 12 years. We're headed in that direction. You can only be ruled by force or by consent. Constitutional republic is a government by consent. A democrat world, anybody on the left, they're for force. Because nobody would really willingly consent to the left-wing happy crap that's how they propose it, but it turns out to be a totalitarian tyranny meant to deprive you of every single right you've ever had so that what? They can drive the gospel of Jesus Christ out of public discourse. Totally. That's what it's about. They're God haters, Christophobes, bibliophobes. You know what? There's so much I'm not getting to. I don't want you to fret. Let me just say this. I don't want you to fret. Read Psalm 37. I'm going to cover it more next week, or at least I'm saying I'm going to. We shouldn't fret. But I want to go back to two things here. I do want you to see that video by Bevelin Beatty, Black Lives Matter. And you know, there is a great cadre of blacks, and I would hope I don't hear from them so much, Hispanics, that are rising up, because this isn't Hispanic Lives Matter. But they're rising up. They just need a liftoff. And this program, when I find out and I come across something, one of you people send it to me, something that is said, hey, I can vet this. This is good. This needs to get up. This needs a rocket booster to get into orbit. This needs to go viral, and maybe this program can help do it. I'm going to do it. Because they are these committed younger blacks, whether it's just Bevelin Beatty, Candace Owens, it could go right down the line, and some older ones as well, but they're sort of like planes trying to take off at JFK Airport. They're all lined up, but they can't get liftoff. Because why? Because ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, L. Sharpton, and the like are sitting up in the control tower. They can't get liftoff because the control tower will not let those planes fly. They will only let the planes fly that are carrying the payload that they want to deliver and then dump on the American people. And that's just what it is. It is a dump. And I want to return to one other thing, because I just simply cannot underscore this enough. The word says that God is no respecter of persons. So if God's no respecter of persons, then we are not to be a respecter of persons either, right? Would that not by itself, even if I didn't haul out 15 other verses that would speak against the idea of making a division or distinction or discrimination based on color? I do make a discrimination based on behavior. That's why LGBTQ has nothing to do with race, ethnicity, or gender. Those are immutable characteristics, LGBT, whatever, all that crapola. That's there because of behavioral lifestyles. It's the only lifestyle that now has federal protection. There's not a lifestyle to being black or white or Dutch or German or female or male or a veteran or disabled. That's not a lifestyle. Queerville is a lifestyle. So there, the scriptures make it very clear. We do not make a distinction of people. We're not a respecter of the person. could be a respecter and a discriminator based on their behavior, but not a respecter of the person, because God isn't. This has been easy for me in my life. I've got areas where I failed. This is not one of them. And so I would like the people of this program, whatever racial makeup you are, that you just simply commit to God and you purpose that you will not let the devil, do not let the devil, who has animated the media, who has animated the left black, the white black, and everything in between on the left white black, the left white and the black left, all the people on the left, that's what I'm trying to say, black or white, who do not let them cause division. Commit yourself to, you will not allow the enemy or his minions to separate you from your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. I want to tell you, when this civil war comes, it won't be black against white. There's going to be a lot of blacks and a lot of whites and a lot of Hispanics on one side, and a lot of blacks and a lot of whites and a lot of Hispanics on the other side. It'll be the God haters against the God lovers, the Christ haters against the Christ lovers, the Bible haters against the Bible lovers. We'll see you next week. God bless you.